Thank you, Andy. That's microphone adjusted. So good afternoon. It's great to see all of you here today. Hope it's been a good day at the conference so far. So welcome to the Learning Lab Mirror Mirror on the Wall Board Self-Assessment. You'll see I did sneak the word practical into the title. That has been a guiding word for me as I've worked on board self-assessment at the Association of Small Foundations. As Andy mentioned, my name is Ruth Masterson. I'm a senior program manager at ASF, and I do a lot of work with research and writing, working directly with our members, and some curriculum development and so forth in areas of boards and governance, administration, tax and legal, and in-house assessment. So I have not practiced with this, so there we go. So what is this about the mirror? Well, let me first ask this, do people have the PowerPoint handout? Great. So you may have already caught the reference, classic fairy tale Snow White, in which the possessor of the mirror can ask the mirror any question and the mirror will reflect back and tell the truth, good, bad, or ugly, or beautiful. And it's a great metaphor for what board self-assessment does, reflects back the truth. It is a very powerful tool in that context, but what it does not do is it doesn't tell you what to do about it, and it doesn't do the work for you. But it does mean that you can move forward with confidence because you've got this accurate, honest reflection back. The agenda today is going to cover what is board self-assessment, why would your foundation want to do one, when or at what points in the foundation's life cycle is a good spot to do it, and then getting a little bit into the nuts and bolts and grounded in how do you go about it, how do you pick a board self-assessment, and what does it look like. I would like to get a sense of who is in the room, because I'm hoping that will maximize my ability to really be of support to all of you in this next hour. And so, first of all, if you have a question that you want to ask but don't want to share it with the room, please feel free to jot it down on the back of a business card. I've got some cards here, too, if you, like I usually do, forget business cards at conferences. And I would also like to ask if anyone in the room has done a board self-assessment with your foundation. Got one person, anyway. I don't know if you mind being put on the spot, but tell me one thing or a couple things about your experience, what you learned, just any sort of impressions that came out of that.
I guess the most important part of it was the discussion amongst the board that it led to. It was sort of a good process to go through that process. Mm-hmm. We decided to keep it simple and keep it in-house, so I conducted it myself.
Great. Anybody have any burning questions or things that you would like to make sure we cover, or any just general questions about board self-assessment so I can make sure we cover them or follow up? People are pretty comfortable with the concept already.
It's new to us, but we've never done it before, and I think it's going to be a really important thing for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through transition.
Mm-hmm. All right, what is board self-assessment? This is the one slide I'm going to read aloud, none of the others. But this is my working definition. Board self-assessment is an objective survey of board members' knowledge, experience, and perspective. It compiles results and reports findings to the board for discussion and reflection And I actually already would change it to say, and action. A couple of comments on this. Survey is only one method for doing it. Another is conversations and interviews, which was already mentioned. Those can be done one-on-one, or it can be done in a group. You might just do your board, or you might include additional stakeholders outside of the board. And typically, those are done. That approach is done more often when you're working with a consultant or a consulting firm. But whatever the process, I think the images below sort of follow the general flow, that the first step, you're going to gather information. The arrow refers to the process of analyzing, sort of spreading out all the little details, and then summarizing and interpreting and finding the story and getting to the core of the matter. Board self-assessment has a number of characteristics that I want to mention, and I think they're important. First of all, it provides a structure. I mean, the board might naturally sort of contemplate its actions and meander through a general board self-assessment just naturally. But when you're doing it formally, it creates a structure, and that structure, I believe, creates efficiency. You can get to the point more quickly. It will increase engagement on your board. I have seen that in every board self-assessment that I've done with ASF members, and it's fun and exciting to see. The degree of additional engagement depends on the culture of the foundation, but I have seen it ratchet up in every case. It will naturally help in planning for the future, and it will model best practice behavior. Something to say about best practice behavior is that, like a mirror, it's not going to tell you what a best practice is. You're not going to come out of it and it's going to say, you should have a policy that says X, Y, and Z. It's the doing of it that tells you what the best practice is. One of our members had a trustee refuse to participate because he was frustrated that it wouldn't come out with that answer. And what I wanted to explain was, it's the doing of it that's the best practice. It also models it for other foundations in the field, your peers, sort of test it out, does a dry run of it, so they can learn from it as well. And if you're asking your grantees to be self-reflective and thoughtful, getting back to that efficient structure, it's an efficient, structured way for you to do it yourselves. When you go into an assessment, there's a few things you can reasonably expect. It is not too much to ask that the results be practical and useful. They should identify strengths, areas of improvement, and they should prioritize those things so you have a map for moving forward. And to my mind, exactly as you just said, the most important reason for doing it is to set the board up for good conversations. Board self-assessment is not a panacea. It doesn't replace those good conversations or legal advice. It also is not an assessment of grants, grantees, or impact. And it doesn't compare you to your peers. Those are asterisked with a little unless, because of course you can measure or work on measuring those things, and you can do them augmented, you know, alongside a board self-assessment. But if you're talking pure self-assessment, not included. So that's an overview of what a board self-assessment is. Any questions on this at this point? Great. All right, let's look at why. Why would a foundation do this assessment? I would recommend doing a board self-assessment if you want to reveal the strengths of the board, range of perspectives. This is always very interesting and a very satisfying thing when I give the report back to ASF members who've done our assessment. Sometimes there's some real surprises. Sometimes we can see clearly there's two different cliques that may be issues. That I've had an ED and board chair can be completely surprised. They thought the issue was resolved years ago, and it was, in fact, still simmering. This allowed them to reintroduce the topic and work further towards resolving it. It will surface difficult issues in an objective manner, reveal gaps, and the sweet thing is when it reveals hopes and dreams. I would suggest doing a board self-assessment to create an experience that is positive and collegial and integrates voices equally. I think the obvious way of understanding that equalization is if you have someone who's really loud and someone who's really quiet, you still hear the loud person. You don't lose that voice. That's an important voice. It'll bring it down, and it'll raise up those who are more quiet. But it also, if you have a board member who feels particularly passionately about one issue and they're loud on that point, but maybe quiet on others, it's going to equalize on that spectrum as well. Do a board self-assessment if you want to improve. A consultant that I worked with on doing some board self-assessments said it really nicely, and she said that there's two primary reasons a board would do a self-assessment. One is, if they're doing a good job already and they just want to do better, that's a great reason. The other is if there's issues and deep things that they want to resolve. It's also great, it's a great avenue to set expectations. I've had a member talk about, we have a weak link on the board, and this helped surface that issue, but in a way the report came back and no fingers were pointed. Nobody was blamed or criticized, but the board was able to just talk generally about what expectations were, and that made a big difference for that foundation. Fine-tune governance, operations, communication, and it's a fresh perspective on evaluating. So wherever your foundation is at in the spectrum, it's a great way to get some fresh perspective and opinions. If I think about when it's a good time for a board to do board self-assessment, my first impulse is just to say anytime you want to have a thoughtful conversation. One of our members who took, and I keep saying one of our members, I've done close to 36, so that's the range in the number, not hundreds, but not just one or two either. So one of our members who took a board self-assessment afterwards said something, and I'll read her quote. A board self-assessment is something foundations ought to do regularly, like a preventative health checkup, whether you do it every year, every 3 years, or every 5 years. It is a great thing to do. I really liked this analogy, and so I've sort of expanded it here to include not just regular annual checkups, but extra visits if an issue surfaces, and it also works in the emergency room type situations. So yes, we want to do the preventative works, but accidents happen, people get hurt. It actually is, I've seen it be a good way to diffuse tension in a room. Examples of time some of our members have done a board self-assessment is before or after strategic planning, developing focus, bringing in new board members. It can help set the stage for doing that. It can also be a good temperature check afterwards. Yes? When we get into the how, I'm going to talk about some very specific examples. I'm kind of speaking on both levels. When I say, you know, an assessment that I did with an ASF member, it is with the ASF board self-assessment that we have as a package. But it also is, I'm talking about it very generally. So generally, and that's where you can do it as a survey, one-on-one conversations, and in a little bit I'm going to talk about some very specific ones that are available. I've also had members just come to me and say, it's just time, we're ready. I would be very curious to learn about, I feel like I paint kind of a rosy picture of it, but I've had such great experiences. I also know that there's obstacles towards doing it, reasons why you might not, hesitations. I would love to hear from some of you, you know, since all but one have not done a board self-assessment before, barring perhaps some of the people that have come in since. What are some hesitations or some barriers that you have?
Well, the question that I would have, we have not done it, but who do you return the survey to? Do you have an outside third party given to it, or some other board member? So I've seen that as an obstacle. In my situation, I think it would go to the chairman, and given the personality, that would not encourage open communication.
And that situation is a little bit of the reason why you want to do it to begin with.
Right.
It's a little bit of a catch 22. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Facilitating those hard topics.
I know when I've talked with members or even non-member foundations who've called in, a really common issue is, I'll get to both of those a little more specifically, particularly the facilitation, but this question of board buy-in, which you've raised some different questions, which is excellent, but I'll speak to this even though no one mentioned it because it's been a common one. And I've had sometimes board members, sometimes EDs, want more information about how to get board buy-in. So if you have one or two people who are really gung-ho and excited to do an assessment, but are concerned that the rest of the board might not be quite so excited at this point, I would recommend a number of different things, depending on the culture of your board and personalities involved. First is working with an ally. So step out beyond your one or two people. Find one or two more people who might be willing to advocate on behalf of it. And maybe you've already been talking with your board about it and everyone's tuning you out. Have the ally introduce it and bring it up. Fresh voice can help shift things. One-on-one conversations with those who are reluctant or concerned. And listen well. I take the approach that if they're concerned or reluctant, there's a really good reason why. It doesn't mean that concern can't be resolved or set aside, but listen to them and find out what the core of their concern is, because typically it can be worked with. ASF has written a primer on the topic, and I know there's other materials available. Read and share and discuss those. And also, in contrast to the one-on-one conversations, discussing expectations with the full board can sometimes help people ask questions and then hear a number of people respond to it, which can resolve their concerns and hesitations. In a situation where the sense is that the person who would conduct it would be a barrier, I think one solution to that is to work with a third party who's going to help sort of modulate that, and that can have the respect and trust of all the personalities on the board. Now we're going to get a little bit into actually how it happens. So I've got some images. I am most familiar with ASF's board self-assessment, and I also don't want to tread on any toes and misspeak about someone else's assessment, so I'm going to use ours as an example. But depending on your foundation, ASF's may or may not be the right choice for you, but it's a good starting point for discussion. So if your foundation did ASF's and did really most any other, the flow looks like gathering the information, typically in a survey, although if you work with an outside consultant or do it in-house, they may also do one-on-one interviews. There's a little Excel spreadsheet there which shows how the numbers are tallied, and you get all these nice little rows of quantitative numbers. And you have some conversations about those. What do these numbers mean? If you're doing open-ended interviews, you're going to summarize and organize that information, and then that turns into a report that is given back to the board for discussion. ASF's board self-assessment has 21 sections, and there are about an average of 10 questions per section. You don't do all of them. Let me just say that before people get alarmed. You can do one or more, and I'll show the list a little later. So this is the very first page, and the way it looks, is there's a series of affirmative statements, and people respond agreeing definitely yes to definitely not on a scale of 1 to 5, and there's an NA box. So the board members have the option to say, that just doesn't even apply. Each statement has a line below it to encourage comments, and each section has an open-ended comment section to, again, generate more comments to tell the stories, to explain the numbers that we're gathering. The report that I or my colleagues prepare talks about the context, so reminding the board by the time it gets back to them, which might be a month or two later, what they did, what the context is, strengths of the board, because you do want to start off with the good news. The strengths are what they are going to reach into in order to deal with the areas for improvement. Then you move into those topics for discussion and next steps. In the next step section, that's where we get into the facilitation question. Sometimes issues are run-of-the-mill. It's not a big deal. The board can easily discuss them. Other topics, we do recommend bringing an outside facilitator in. It's not a one-size-fits-all. You don't go into a board self-assessment absolutely needing to have an outside facilitator with the discussions, but there may be some hot topics where you really do need to bring someone in. Here's a collection, and here's where we get into some of the different tools that are available. These are the board self-assessments that I found in my research that work with private foundations specifically. There are others that work with nonprofits generally that can also work for private foundations, but at a certain point, the universe just gets larger and larger, and where do you draw the line? So these are ones that are designed specifically for private foundations. And you'll see that each one has its own emphasis. So NCFP, National Center for Family Philanthropy, theirs would be great for a family foundation, but not for other types. ASF, we work with foundations with few or no staff. Ours is designed for foundations with few or no staff, but all types. So independent, staffed or non-staffed, corporate, community, all these different types of and family as well. Board Source is an excellent one. It was grounded in working with nonprofits broadly, so public charities, and has more recently added on its private foundation version. It's an excellent one also. Project Streamline, it's free, it's online, but it only focuses on grants and streamlining your grants process. Center for Effective Philanthropy does wonderful work and they produce gorgeous reports. They actually have discontinued their sort of more pure board self-assessment because they were finding that what they do is they aggregate the data. The others on this page don't aggregate the data. It's case by case. CEP, what they do is they pull together data and produce the results in these very nice reports. Wonderful contribution to the field, but they don't do a pure board self-assessment anymore because the results just weren't interesting when you aggregated them. Now, for each individual foundation, they were tremendously interesting, but the aggregated data just was not. Center for Board Excellence was designed originally for corporate boards, corporate for-profit, I should say, but they also have the capacity to and the knowledge to work with private foundations. And then, of course, you can do it yourself. You can bring in a consulting firm or an independent consultant, just depending on the culture of your board, cost concerns, et cetera. So here's a list. I'm not going to go through all of these. And they're in your PowerPoint. If you're looking for board self-assessment, these are some of the questions I would recommend asking about each one you look at. Give you a good sense of comparison. Any questions about any of these?
These things are evaluation.
Sorry, versus. So that might be something where you check the box online or you have a piece of paper and write on it. Yes?
I have a question about ASF survey.
Mm-hmm.
You say you provide a report, so mm-hmm. are you providing a narrative kind of analysis of the results that you saw?
Absolutely. So,
that you mm-hmm. saw specifically.
Mm-hmm. The second section of that report is the strength. So what we do is we go through and we just list it all. What's all the information we get? Then we have the conversations with the foundation. And then we tease out which are the strengths, and we talk about those first, then the areas for improvement, and that is very done in as objective a manner as we can. That last section of next steps, that's where we bring in our experience and our recommendations and sort of what we recommend you do. And the idea there is that first you'll hear the objective information so you can make your own decisions and compare that against what we recommend and move forward. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Does it compare any kind of results to norms or to means of work?
I think aggregated data depends on the topic. So if you're looking for, a really obvious one that comes to mind is salary and compensation. It's tremendously interesting if you want to set salaries and you need to find comparables to see what other people are doing and this is the norm, and this is the highest, and this is the lowest, and this is what people pay in our area. So aggregated data on compensation is extremely valuable. But it doesn't really matter if does your foundation want to have a spending policy? Say 40% of foundations across the country have spending policies. That doesn't actually tell you if your foundation should have one. Your foundation should have one if your foundation needs one, if it's appropriate for your foundation. And another thing that CEP found when they aggregated the data was that it didn't change over time. And you don't really need to see a number. I don't know that spending policy is really the best example, but we'll just stick with that. You don't really need to see that go up. It's not a better world if it goes up necessarily, because maybe 60% of foundations shouldn't have one. So, and that's, it just, it didn't really matter for the board self-assessment. Now, for your own foundation, is every board member aware that if you do or don't have a spending policy, and if you do have one, what it is? That matters, because you want your board to understand what its own policies are. Does that answer the question? Okay. And another list that's included in your PowerPoint handout, so I won't read it all to you, is these are the different things that you can assess. So this is sort of a different approach. So the last slide, I'll go back, was what to look for, how much does it cost, sort of the process. This slide is the content of what you're evaluating. Governance is a really classic and common thing to evaluate, and you get some very interesting results, and it's very helpful. But you can assess a lot of other things. Your grant-making process. Does the board feel you're having an impact? Things that are specific to a family foundation or a corporate foundation. The one I will pull out and mention is the grantee and applicant perception. That's one that CEP, Center for Effective Philanthropy, does, and ASF also has one as well in our packet. That's the one that is not completed by your own board, but you would send it out to, broadly or narrowly, to grantees and or applicants to learn about how they perceive your foundation. And it can work on both a process level of, do they get answers quickly? Are they treated courteously and with respect? Up to more impact questions. Do they think your foundation is actually making a difference? Do they have perspectives that might help you improve your grant making? Any questions on any of these on this slide?
What is strategy landscape tool?
CEP has something called a strategy landscape tool, and that's something where it's a process of looking, and so I'm going to stumble a little bit when I talk about it because I'm not quite so intimately familiar with it, but the idea is, how do you look at the landscape of your field? Say you want to give in, let's just say water birds, because we were recently talking about that. You're concerned about the health of water birds. What can you do to make the biggest difference? So it's a process of saying, who else is out there? Who's funding what? What's most effective? And going through that sort of focusing process so you can look for leverage points that are a good fit for your foundation. ASF doesn't have it, that CEP does, and that's fine, and they rely on the client to go out and do it. It's a tool that they provide to you for you to use and do your own research and work. And how much support they give in that process, I don't know. I'm sure they give at least a little, but the research I do know is on the client. And then the example that I can fall back on of ASF's tool, these are the sections that ASF covers in our board self-assessment. So you can see it's a long list. But again, you can do any one of those as a standalone, take about 10 minutes, or you can do a whole series. I think the most I've seen anyone do is 15 in one shot, and that was kind of a big production, commonly 9 or 10. And I've also had foundations do just one. And all the sections on the left are geared towards, a plain vanilla foundation, which is maybe not the best use of words, but I would say independent and unstaffed. And then if your foundation is family, corporate, community, or staffed, you might want to add on the issues that are specific to your type of foundation. So this is just one example. And each of the ones on the page with all of the logos has a different grouping of what they cover. And they're also tailorable to different degrees depending on the one you purchase. So that would be a question as you're doing your research. Okay, everyone's very quiet and self-reflective, which is appropriate for the topic of board self-assessment. And this is a chance for you all to talk amongst yourselves. If you could get into groups of at least three, but maybe four or five people, I've got some questions for you. The first question is, when you get together, if you could go around and just talk about what intrigues you about board self-assessment. Then go around and talk about what barriers or hesitations or questions you have about it. And then next steps, that would be the logical last question. What next steps are you going to take? So this is a chance to sort of formulate what you're going to ask or research. Or maybe you've already decided based on this that it's not for your foundation at this point in time. And I'll come around to talk to people, and then when there's about 5-10 minutes left, we can do a little reporting back. Okay, I just wanted to do a real quick wrap-up because our time is about over. Any comments from, I mean, both groups were having fantastic conversations, which was great to hear and fun to listen in on for a bit. Anything you'd like to share back or ask me or ask one another? Any fresh ideas?
How aligned with mission is this governance structure, and how aligned with mission is this grant?
Very nice.
And our little book, we have a pretty wide spectrum around the use of mission,
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I know that our assessment walks through, like, do you have a mission statement? Is it written down? Do you support it? And then, you know, and then also all of the things lining up. It's a wonderful practice to line everything up against it.
And I think when working on the mission, particularly in we have some sub-missions in our specific grant areas. And the whole process of coming up with that mission statement and doing it as we have to creates board self-assessment.
Yes.
And highlights the conflict.
I'm trying not to react too strongly to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe they believe in it now. It's not, we'll see next year.
Yeah, and how can you support environmental work without believing in that? It's interesting.
Okay. But they gave a way of saying this is how we'd like to go with that environment. That would feel like a local, like give to some conservation, buy some land, and put it in the conservation easement. They would like to burn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't mean that you can't. But when you have a difference of opinion. Any other quick words of wisdom or thoughts that came up during your discussions? Okay, thank you so much. And call me if you have any questions at all. And Andy has a last word for us. Oh, yes. Yes, please take a moment to do an evaluation. I would personally very much appreciate it.